This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Monday morning to you as we come into the Fan Run studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. Intern Andrew's got the Periscope fired up. It's Florida Hate Week. Florida Week. Tennessee moved to 2-1 over the weekend. My Titans, they got me back on board, baby. Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. Big win for the Titans at home over the division rival Houston Texans. I thought that, man, Deshaun Watson has not gotten better. I know it's hard to ask after a knee injury, but he is not picking up where he left off last year. He does not look good. A lot of people penciled him in as being the next like star quarterback in the league, and it doesn't seem like it's ready to happen for him. Not saying it's over for him by any means, but, man, yesterday, just that last play, I mean, the Texans had the ball 15, 16 seconds left, just needing a field goal, no timeouts, and he scrambles around for 14 seconds before throwing the ball and running out of time. How are we this morning? Thumbs up from Ben Lee. Cody McClure, how are you?
Doing well, John. It's nice to see you today. You little Blue Riding Hood, I see.
It's my light hoodie season now.
Yeah.
It was a little chilly this morning when I took the dog out. I said, you know what? It's finally time to break it out.
Yeah.
Let's go full day hoodie. Let's see how it goes. Hopefully by the time I get out of the show, it's not like 85 degrees and muggy. But right now I got the hood on. I feel good. Fall's here. Tennessee, Florida's here. My Titans are 1-0 in the division, headed to Jacksonville this weekend. Like, life's good right now.
I just can't feel like fall is here until next month.
Okay.
It's just...
That's your prerogative, Bobby.
It's still hot. Still hot and humid. Yeah, I'm doing well, though. It is certainly good to be here and good to be anywhere.
Is Friday the first day of fall, September 21st? Is that how that works?
That seems early to me.
Is that the old fall equinox, September 21st?
Is it? Maybe it is. I don't know.
Is it the 21st or 22nd? I think it's the 21st. 22nd?
That seems early to me because it's still hot until October.
Spring and summer do the 21st, fall the 22nd?
I'm getting the 23rd over here.
You're getting the 23rd?
The autumn equinox of 2018, Sunday, September 23rd.
I'm looking at intern Andrew's computer. It says September 22nd to December 21st, so I don't know. We're going to call it the 22nd.
It's either the 20th or the 28th.
We're going with the 22nd.
Somewhere in between.
This weekend. How about that? Let's just go with this weekend. Tennessee, Florida, under the lights at 7 o'clock. That's the beginning of fall, right there. SEC schedule kicking off for Tennessee. Tennessee looking for its second straight win over Florida in Knoxville. This last, like, 4 years, it feels like Tennessee should be 4-0, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they should have been, you know.
Like, Tennessee should be riding a four-game winning streak over Florida. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, well, you know, 1-3, that works too. We'll take 1-3 out of that. But, yeah, it probably should be 4 in a row. At least 3 out of 4. I'll give you a swing game somewhere, but at least 3 out of 4.
It's pretty wild to me. Should be 4-0 instead, 1-3. That's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal. You should be looking to get the streak to 5. Feeling good about yourself. Swinging that back. Where do you want to start? Last week we started with the NFL. Feels like we can't start with the NFL again.
We can start by talking about Tennessee's dominant, beautiful, just impressive shutout victory on Saturday.
I mean, you say that facetiously, but the offense had 500 yards And the defense had its best performance against a Power 5 team since 2009, if you look at the yards. Now, I know we came into this thinking that this was the worst team Tennessee will have played in the last 10 years or so. But the defense pitched another shutout and gave up 2.6 yards per play, the lowest in 9 years.
Yeah, the defense played pretty well.
Or I guess make that 8 years, excuse me.
Defense played okay. Offense just looked really stagnant. They looked like they couldn't block up front at times.
Well, it depends on how they're blocking. Like that's been the issue with them. When they're trying their zone blocking, the zone blocking does not work. The zone blocking leads to guys blocking no one. Like not blocking a space, they grab nobody. It's quite amazing if you watch. I don't know, I always talk about him on Mondays, but the Power T tape on Twitter, he does a good job of breaking down this stuff. And, you know, the zone blocking not working for Tennessee. It's hard to call the offense stagnant, Cody, when they have 500 yards. Like, to me, I have problems with what they're doing when they get in the red zone. You know, they had first and goal, and they just had a touchdown get called back for a penalty, and next thing you knew, it was first and goal from the 20, and you kick a field goal.
It just felt kind of lethargic. I mean, I know they moved the ball. It didn't feel smooth. It didn't feel, what's the word? It didn't feel like it was running properly. I don't expect it to be a well-oiled machine or anything at this point in the year, but I felt like they left a lot to be desired against a team like UTEP.
Oh, yeah, no, they 100% did. They 100% did, and if you listen to any of Vontae's reaction, you've heard her complaints. Like, I still don't know what the hell they're trying to do with Keller Crist.
I do like the fact that they ran for 345 yards.
Yeah, highlighted by Ty Chandler's, how far was that of a scamper?
158, and he had a long of 81.
81 yards?
Yeah.
And how many? 150?
158 total on 12 carries. They had 345 rushing as a team with a 6.9 average.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. I mean, you can't complain about the running game.
So Ty Chandler had 12 carries and 150 yards, and of course 81 of them on one. But still, if you remove that, that's still 72 yards on 11 carries?
That's still plenty of rushing yards, yeah.
That's still good.
Madre got 9 carries for 74 yards. Tim Jordan, 13 for 49. So, and then even Banks got 9 carries. So they really split it up pretty evenly.
Yeah, didn't like Banks' 3 fumbles.
No, not at all.
Or maybe it was 2 fumbles in this one, and then he had 1 in the first game too. So
yeah,
I know he's had 3 fumbles and 28 touches, and that's not good.
No, as a running back, it's best if you hold on to the ball.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's accurate. You need to hold on to the ball.
It's best not to let it loose rolling around on the grass.
You don't want to develop that habit or that reputation.
Right.
And, you know, was he in the goal? Was he over the goal line by the time he fumbled his first time, you know, when Tennessee was driving in? I don't know. If it gets called a touchdown, I doubt they overturn it. But still, you would have had first and goal set up inside the one. Probably not a good idea to reach the ball over. That's just being aggressive. Maybe you'll learn from that. Maybe it's just a freak thing. I don't know. You gotta have stronger hands than that, though. I came out feeling okay about the offense. I mean, Garantano looked sharp again. Again, I don't understand what they were thinking with Keller Crist. I don't get what they were thinking. Like, hey, we're gonna put you in to run the 2-minute drill. Why? What the hell for? I get that you're trying to develop a backup quarterback, but again, if you listen to voluntary action, we've already kind of gone over this, but in case you haven't, like, you don't need reps for Keller Crist when his strength's supposed to be, I'm a grad transfer. I've started 13 games. I understand how to play big-time Power 5 football. If you want to say in the system, that's fine. Then come in and run the system. Don't use your time in the fourth quarter when you're playing to come in and just strictly hand the ball off and burn clock. We're not worried about protecting UTEP's feelings, right? Is that a fair critique? Yeah. Or is that nitpicking?
Yeah, no, I mean it is. At what point did Crist come in for the first time?
First time I noticed him was for the 2-minute drill in the first half.
In the first half, yeah. That was weird. That was weird. I don't know why they would have brought him in the first half.
And then he got a late in the third quarter, I think, possession when Tennessee had taken the ball over on the plus side of the 50 after defense had forced a punt.
I mean,
comes
maybe
in and they went 3-and-out both situations.
I mean, maybe the staff's looking at it and they're just like, we don't really care. We know we're going to win this game. We got it locked down. Like the fact that the game's never really in doubt. Although in the second quarter to bring him in when it's only 10-0, right?
Yeah,
that's a little strange. I mean, I think you can question that for sure. But like the third quarter, I mean, by the time you get up 17, you know you're probably not going to give up any points. Like 17's not a big margin to be up. But against a team like that, I'm okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm okay with it in the third quarter.
A team that's not going to score.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with bringing him in then. But yeah, the first half's a little weird.
My whole thing was if you're trying to actually get him quality reps inside your system, because I saw a lot of people differentiating that whenever you point out, hey, he started 13 games. This isn't a freshman needing to learn college football. This guy started in the Pac-12, won some games, played in some big ones. I'm like, well, he hasn't done it in the system. Okay, then bring him in and let him run that system. Do it in the fourth quarter. We're not worried about hurting UTEP's feelings. Come in and run real drives. That's what's so mind-boggling to me. And I do think it affected Tennessee's rhythm.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt it did.
And I think that Garantano could have used the work in the 2-minute drill, because I do think you're going to find yourself in a situation with Florida where you're needing to score points at the end of a half or at the end of the game to have a better chance to win, and he's not going to have done it this year with these guys.
Yeah, Tennessee had a certain rhythm going, at the time when he came in, you would say, right? A certain momentum.
Yeah, I mean, the ball was being moved. Tennessee was doing a good job of moving the ball. Don't smirk.
You called it rhythm. Kind of sounds like the momentum.
I just mean the offense was feeling good knowing what they were doing.
Yeah.
The offense had the momentum. The ball.
They had momentum moving in their favor. Or rhythm. You could. They're really synonyms of each other.
No. I don't think they are. Because I do think you can get in a rhythm. No one would argue that.
Yeah.
You can get going and feel good about yourselves. And, hey, the offense is clicking. We're doing this here. We're doing this here. We're going to throw these 8-yard passes. We're going to do this little toss sweep.
Just depends on what word you put on it, really.
I mean, momentum's implying a bigger power at work where the game's going in
the
your
favor. The power
of
rhythm. The power of rhythm.
I'm not having this discussion.
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to have it. No, I know. I was just. I thought it was cool you pointed out rhythm, because I agree. They were in a rhythm and they lost it. They lost it. It's a bad time to bring him in.
So I look and yeah, the final score is lower than we all thought. Right? Like we thought Tennessee was probably should cover that spread pretty easily. The spread got up to 33. Like
yeah,
you felt like Tennessee could do whatever they wanted, really offensively and defensively. Like UTEP was not good. So the final score. Cause for panic, the game flow, the game stats felt like domination. 500 total yards, 350 rushing yards.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was happy to see that. Like, the rushing numbers were nice. It was just a game. It was just one of those games that was hard to watch.
Oh, no, it was. It was brutal. I'm not making any argument there. I'm saying, though, when you look at the box score –
yeah, maybe stagnation is not the proper use.
It's just clumsiness. Right. It wasn't sharp. It wasn't crisp.
Right.
Like, you didn't execute in scoring situations. From their 20 up to, like, your 30, you were good. And then you'd find a way to not score. Like, again, Tennessee had over 500 yards of offense. They kept UTEP below 100. UTEP had 134 yards. So, like, you outgained them. You were never really in doubt of losing this, in danger of losing this game. Hopefully, that means that you come out and you play better against Florida and that you have some things you're saving. Tennessee showed a couple of wrinkles. Hey, here's the Wildcat. Do some game prep for the Wildcat. Hey, here's Garantano doing some read option keeps and design quarterback runs. We hadn't seen those so far this year.
No.
So you did let them out of the bag a little bit. which, if you're just trying to give Florida more stuff to game plan for, I guess makes sense. Otherwise, yeah. I would have maybe saved it.
Garantano looked efficient in his little bit of throwing that he did, you know, which he didn't have to throw much.
Hit a deep pass down the field.
Still too many penalties, I think, for this team. They shoot themselves in the foot a lot. They seem to be pretty undisciplined in terms of getting flags thrown on them. And, you know, that can be an important part of the game. And then also turnovers, which I know Pruitt has been adamant on wanting them to force more turnovers. They had two on Saturday, but they should have had probably three or four. You know, they had the one that the ball just bounced right out of the guy's hands. Was that Warrior?
That was Warrior. It would have been negated by roughing the passer.
Okay.
Well, but still, like, those are opportunities that if it's not a roughing the passer, you have to make that play against Florida, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't drop a wide-open interception at their 30-yard line and win those games.
Yeah, those are just things that bad teams do.
Right. Now, again, it was a roughing the passer. It would have, you know, it would have not mattered, but still – like, Warrior didn't know that. It wasn't like Warrior said, oh, there's a penalty, I'm going to drop this pass.
Yeah.
And you got to make those plays. You have to be opportunistic when it comes to forcing turnovers. And look, here's the thing. Felipe Franks is going to give you opportunities to make turnovers.
It's what he does. Yeah.
I know Florida beat down Colorado State. I think that's more of an indictment on Colorado State. I think a lot of people got excited that Colorado State beat Arkansas without really fully realizing how terrible Arkansas was.
Oh, my God. Blown out by North Texas.
Yeah, like just got the absolute hell beat out of them. So, like, Colorado State, not a good team. I'm not impressed with what Florida did. Florida, you know, got a couple of special teams touchdowns. Whatever. Felipe Franks, you look at his numbers, he still went 8 for 15. 8 for 15, 119 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. So, like, I come out of that game feeling the same way I feel about Florida. You can run on them, or at least they've been ran on so far. We don't know if Tennessee can run on them, but Tennessee's got to get better blocking up front to run on them, but Tennessee's backs are good enough to run on them. And Felipe Franks is not very good. That's kind of what I know. Were you shocked? Were you surprised? Shock's too strong of a word. Were you surprised to see Florida open up as 6-point favorites?
No. No, not really.
I was.
Yeah, you thought it would be a little closer, like 2.5?
I thought 2.5 would be the number. Now, it opened at 6, and it got bet down to 4.5, and I still think it'll get down to 3 by the time the kickoff comes. But granted, to be fair to me, which that's the most important thing is being fair to yourself, that was during the first portion of the quarter when Florida was struggling against Colorado State. Once they won 48-10, like you reevaluate a little bit because they had looked sloppy at first, but then of course they put up a big impressive number. I still think that'll be closer to 3, 3.5 by the time kickoff comes. It doesn't sway my opinion though that Tennessee should win this game, or that we should expect Tennessee to win this game, I guess I should say. I'm not looking at this as a good team coming into Neyland.
I don't either, but I don't feel good about Tennessee winning right now.
You don't?
No. So I don't know how to distinguish between expecting them to win versus actually thinking they're going to win. Because I think that they should win, as in this has to be one of those games that Jeremy Pruitt, if he's a good coach, he comes out, he gets up for it, gets his players ready, and they go win it. I do think it's, you know, call that a must win if you want, whatever. The expectation to win, I definitely think, is warranted. It's the, do I actually think we will win? That I don't feel great about.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah, I know. It's Monday.
Yeah, by Friday you'll be ready to go.
Yeah, because I'm at like a 4 right now. You know how Florida week goes. Remember last year, you were at like a 4. And then by the end of the week, you were jacked.
JT asked if I just said Neyland. Yeah, my voice did something weird. I know it's Neyland, okay?
Ooh.
All right, JT.
That's like spelling Peyton with an A.
I understand. My voice did a little something weird as I was saying it. I gotta quit drinking carbonation before the drink and before the show and during
the
show.
That made you say Nayland?
Yeah. Had a little hiccup.
Yeah.
Had a little hiccup in between. I know it's Nayland.
I can't wait to be at Nayland Stadium this weekend.
That's kind of what happened. A little bit. It wasn't that dramatic. It was like,
whoa.
It wasn't that dramatic, but I know what it is. Damn it. Cut that out of the podcast, Ben. We're off and running as Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Radio. It's Tennessee and it's Florida. Under the lights on September 22nd. Exactly what we all wanted. But what we don't want is to wait until Saturday morning to start the pregame festivities. Which is why we at Fan Run Radio have partnered with In With The Old, Knox Area Rescue Ministries, and others to bring you Pandemonium Reigns. Friday, September 21st, starting at 5 p.m., we are filling the festival lawn at World's Fair Park with live music, beer tents, food trucks, and free giveaways, as well as a three-story tall projection screen for the feature presentation. As soon as the sun goes down, we'll fire up the replay of Tennessee's thriller against Florida from 1998 until the goalposts come down on Shields-Watkins Field. Pandemonium Reigns is a free event, but space is limited, so make sure to secure your ticket early at pandemoniumreigns.com, where you can learn more about the event. Things like parking options, vendors, food trucks, and the VIP experience, with proceeds going to benefit Knox Area Rescue Ministries. So help us raise some money and kick off Tennessee-Florida game weekend in World's Fair Park for Pandemonium Reigns.
Back on the program. I have a lot of Tennessee Florida talk to say for the rest of the week. I'm not going to blow it all today. Was surprised at Florida getting the respect of being a 6-point favorite at home, although I guess when you consider that Florida was 13-point favorites at home against Kentucky, that team's getting a lot of respect in the desert. That team's getting a lot more respect than they probably deserve.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
It does.
I don't know why they'd be 13-point favorites over Kentucky either, and of course that proved to be true.
They lost.
Yeah, and got dominated, really.
Yeah, and this is their first road trip of the year, too.
Yep.
They had Kentucky and Gainesville.
We expect the crowd to be good on Saturday, right?
I sure hope so.
I think people who are thinking it's going to be close to, you know, like 2015 Oklahoma or even 2016 Florida, probably overestimating what it's going to be, right? Like, I don't think it's going to reach that level of rowdiness.
I don't know. For a night game, I really hope it does. I hope we come into it with a raucous environment. Oklahoma was a night game. Florida 2016 was a 3:30 game. So, I mean, we haven't had a big night game win since Oklahoma, right? Probably.
A big night game?
Because all those 2016 games were CBS 3:30 games. And then last year you didn't have anything. So, yeah, it would have been Oklahoma, I think, 2015.
Yeah. I mean, we're not counting Appalachian State, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean,
that was a Thursday night depression, right?
It was a night game, and it was, you know, you're hoping to kick off with the big win. Now,
Virginia Tech was a night game,
but that
was
in
Bristol.
Sure.
It was in Bristol. So, yeah, I think this is the first one since Oklahoma, really. Against a major game.
So, do you think the night game makes it a better atmosphere than the 3:30 game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Is there a reason why?
People are going to be sloshed.
It's dark, for one.
It's dark, for one, so it's
the
less hot.
You're under the lights.
So you're less hot? Does that have something to do with it? Like
that's got something to do with it,
sure. The 3:30 kickoff's hot?
You have 7 hours to pregame?
Sure, that too.
I mean, I feel like when you have the 3:30 kickoff, you start pregaming at 10. I mean, so 5 hours is plenty of time.
Some people don't get around to like noon, though. You're going to get drunker people at a night game in general. Little drunker, they're a little louder.
Okay.
You know? And like you said, the weather's a little better.
I mean, I prefer the night game just because it's not hot.
It's just under the lights. It just has a better feel to it. You know what I mean?
Plus, you get the, like, rivalry, hype. Like, everyone hates Florida. Like, there's not real hatred towards Oklahoma or anything like that. Like,
right.
People want to beat Florida.
All right, hit the Toyota Knoxville poll question.
The fireworks are more vibrant.
The fireworks are definitely more vibrant. You are right about that. Toyota Knoxville.
Are you going to ask your favorite kind of game?
No, I'm just asking, are night games louder
than 3:30 games?
Just louder. Because I feel like the 3:30, I mean, I feel like Florida 2016 was pretty damn loud. Right? I mean,
our
was
night
it? The 3:30 has like a good, like, because it develops into night and then people kind of rowdy at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But the night game, like, starting.
I mean, basically what we're saying is that noon games suck. Yeah, we.
30 games.
It's something about the moon coming out, man.
Yeah, the moon. Fireworks are beautiful. They're vibrant.
You already made your fireworks.
The orange flashes more. You can see the flash of the cameras in the stands.
I think a lot of it has to do with more time to pregame and get drunk.
You don't have to deal with that first half shadow that's cast over half the field in the 3:30 games.
Look, you're telling me everything that does not equal loudness. Ben's coming with like, hey, you're drunk.
Was that my initial point? Was that it was louder?
Yeah.
I just think it's a better environment in general.
I mean, it's of course it's more fun to see it in the dark. Like whenever the sun not being out, hate the sun. I'm with you there. The shadow over the field, great. We're talking about it being louder, though.
I didn't know that's specifically what we're talking about.
Yeah, because your whole premise was that I said I didn't know that if it was going to be louder, like if it was going to be on the same level of Oklahoma 15 or Florida 16. You said, yeah, man, it's louder at night. When's the last time we had a night game in Neyland? So I mean, that's kind of where the premise was. The ambiance, you're 100% correct. Like the sky being dark, the fireworks going off. If Tennessee happens to score. Thank God if they score. Please, God, let them score.
At least a couple field goals.
Yeah. Do we shoot fireworks off for field goals?
No, but no. Maybe we should. Maybe we should this week.
Do you think like there's anything to like the anticipation? Because like I'm thinking back to West Virginia. Like it got to like 3 o'clock, and I was like, this is the longest 30 minutes of my life waiting for this game to kick off. Like I was in my house, like jumping up and down, like let's get this going, like.
And then they got our ass beat.
Anticipation.
But I feel like on game day.
Now, see, with me, I'm kind of the opposite. Like,
you just get more and more nervous.
No, I start getting fatigued. Like, I don't. I'm just a liquor drinker.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
I'm a liquor drinker. It's all a sprint when you're a liquor drinker. Like there's no drink a couple beer and ease into this. It's oh god, this is my fourth whiskey and Sprite. Or
it's only 2 o'clock.
That's 7 o'clock.
Excuse me. This year it'll be my fourth volunteer vodka and Sprite. But either way, like I'm just like starting to get groggy. And
at 7 o'clock, he's just falling asleep in front of the TV.
I mean, I'm not falling asleep, but like, I don't know if I'm at my optimal screaming capacity.
I don't know necessarily that it's louder at night. I want to think it is, but maybe it's, you know, LSU has that reputation that Death Valley's always louder at night. I don't know if we. You know, I don't know if it's the same for us if we think that with Neyland.
I mean, didn't we like set or like get close to like the Neyland decibel record
against
Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
So yeah. I feel like night, like they kind of have that.
I mean, that's also you get the benefit of having a great opponent and Tennessee's trying to make a statement in front of the world. Like I love to make sure that people aren't confusing correlation with causation, I guess. Like, yes, it was louder for Oklahoma. Was it louder because it was at night or louder because you're up 17 points over a national power and you feel like you're finally back and coming out of the dark ages? I would say those more important to the decibel level.
I still stand by the loudest I ever heard it for me personally, which I guess it's not factual since Oklahoma broke the decibel thing or whatever, but 2013 Georgia, to me, just being in the crowd was the loudest I've heard it.
Well, it was a 3:30 game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
So that would, you know,
I would like. I do wish, like, they had. Do they always have, like, a seismograph going?
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, can you go back? Has someone been tracking the loudest moments in Neyland Stadium history?
The funny thing is we had never heard anything about that until that Oklahoma game.
Yeah.
It's like somebody just made it up right there at the Oklahoma game.
Right. It feels like that was a gimmick to say, hey, let's be loud. Like, you know, you don't have to do that type of stuff with Tennessee. Like,
it's the loudest it's ever been. We've decided today, because honestly, I've always wondered about that, because it didn't seem that way. Now, it was loud. I mean, it was a great environment.
I mean, but at a certain point, like, it's just loud.
Yeah.
Like, at a certain point, it's not louder than loud. It's just loud. People are peak screaming.
Yeah.
I don't know how it would be louder than Florida 98 or Florida, was it
04.
04? Yeah.
01 was in Gainesville. Swamp.
Yeah. 04. Like when Josh Malone took that slant to the house to go up 10 over Florida, or when Juwan Jennings caught that ball on Jalen Tabor.
It was damn loud.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how you differentiate, well, this was louder than that. No, that's just both pretty damn loud. Which, by the way, both those at 3:30.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. 2012 Florida, I remember being really loud as well. That was a night game. I don't think you can specifically say that a night game is louder.
I'm glad we had a 30-minute conversation over something. A 15-minute conversation over a statement you made that you don't really mean.
It's usually how it happens, isn't it?
It's usually how it happens. Oh, well. At least we got our poll question out of it. At least we got our poll question out of it. So far, here's the poll. You can go to Fox Sports Knox on Twitter to vote. Are night games louder? Yes, no, no difference. How would you like to vote?
Yes, no, no difference.
95% of people say yes.
I guess I'll vote yes, too.
I feel like Florida, Florida in 16 is pretty damn loud.
I'm going to go no difference.
Georgia, that's what I went. Only 4% of us.
Wow.
Think of that.
Wow.
1% of people want to be a jerk and just vote no.
No. Go to hell. Yeah. You should have just put go to hell.
Yeah.
Be like 20%.
Although, like, overall, so what are you expecting? Put it somewhere on a scale.
Expecting what? What do you mean?
Crowd-wise. Loudness.
Better be damn good.
What?
It better be on the level of... I think it should be on the level of Oklahoma or Georgia or like give me 2012 Florida anyway.
You know? Like if we're ranking them, Todd from Hop says 04 Florida and 06 Cal are his top two, and he goes to almost every home game.
06 Cal.
So, I mean, he's been there. He'd be someone who knows.
Yeah.
06 Cal was loud. That was another one of those. That was another one of those Oklahoma moments where you feel like you're trying to make a national statement, like about your football team and your program and your fan base.
Coming off a really bad year.
Yeah. I mean, do we think that this Saturday can get to those levels?
Yeah. I think that's where it should be this Saturday.
Seems weird whenever both teams are coming off 4-win seasons. And that people are saying this is to see who finishes sixth in the SEC East.
Are you afraid the wind has just been punched out of us too much at this point?
No. I think we can bring it. I don't think Florida's going to bring it. I can't imagine very many Florida fans come up.
It just, I mean, I think it should be better than that 2014 game that was 10-9. You know what I mean? Like, I think both programs are, maybe they're not in better shape necessarily, but they're on a better trajectory.
I would say also a part of my concern is that in those games, you have to have big plays. Like, that's what gets the crowd going more than anything are, like, big plays.
Yeah.
Like I said, Juwan Jennings burning Tabor. Josh Malone taking a 50-yard slant to the house, outrunning everybody. I don't know if we have those big plays in us.
We got Juwan Jennings.
We do still have Juwan Jennings, although I don't think we throw the ball to him further than 6 yards down the field anymore. So I don't know if he's going to have a chance for a big play.
He's going to have to make some guys miss. That's what he does against Florida, though. He does this in big games.
I do wonder, like, if Tennessee has the home run hitters, or if they'll be able to do that on offense. Like, Ty Chandler outran UTEP. Can he outrun Florida? Because if he houses an 81-yard touchdown against Florida, the place will come unglued.
Yeah.
You get a pick six, the place will come unglued. If you get a big sacks, the place comes unglued. Like, the second half of 2016 Florida is about as good of a defensive performance as you can play. I don't believe Tennessee gave up a first down until garbage time.
Oh, yeah. Barnett was just, I mean, he just
Barnett and Vereen were, yeah, Barnett and Vereen were unblockable.
Yeah. They made life hell for Florida.
So, like, you're easy to keep the crowd loud when you are dealing with big plays, sacks. Like, we've seen Tennessee so far create a lot of pressure. We haven't seen them pull anybody down for sacks. Really. I mean, I know they got a couple against UTEP, but...
Yeah, like three or four all year.
For the most part, they were still getting close, but not being able to finish. Now, look, are they going to be able to have a boost? Like, do you get a little bit faster when the adrenaline's going? Do you get a little bit faster when the crowd's going and, you know, peak decibels? Yeah, sure, you will. And I think that'll help the defense. It makes it harder on Florida's offensive line, and it gives your defense a benefit because you're both responding to when the ball moves. The snap count goes out the window, which helps your defense. Question is, can these defensive linemen and blitzing linebackers make a play?
That's what I'm worried about.
Can the offense do anything other than, you know, 10-yard plays?
That's what I'm worried about. You're as bad as, you know, the last two teams you've played and the fact that you've struggled at times. And, like, I know Florida hasn't necessarily been good this year, but they're Florida.
Oh, yeah, they're still Florida.
They're an SEC football team.
And, quite frankly, Tennessee's facing a – what do we count them up at? You're at a 9-game losing streak in the SEC?
Yeah.
You lost to Vandy to end 2016. You went 0-8 last year, so you're on a 9-game SEC losing streak?
Right. Like, we're not – like, that's the thing that you asked at the top of the show. Do we expect to win? Like, to me, that's where I'm kind of twisted in my mind. Like, well, based on what I've seen recently, not really.
And if you lose to Florida, you're going to be staring at a 14-game losing streak right in the face, right?
Yeah.
In the SEC?
Yeah, man. I mean, to beat Florida, though,
God.
It would be great, though.
That's pretty damning to say out loud, right? That's sad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
a
horrifying.
A 14-game SEC losing streak?
Yeah. Yeah. That's where we're at, but I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing, though.
Like, don't get me wrong. I know he sucked, but 14-game losing streak in the SEC? What's the longest all time? What's the longest in recent memory? Like, surely Vanderbilt.
Dooley didn't do that, did he? Dooley never did that.
No. No, I don't think he ever – did he ever go winless in the SEC?
No, he beat either Vandy or Kentucky.
He got him at least one.
Well, 2012, he didn't, but Chaney beat Kentucky.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Thank God for Jim Chaney, or that would have been
Thank
our first.
Thank God for Jim Chaney.
That would have been our first winless year.
14 games? Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, the great thing is, though, if you beat Florida this weekend, that whole stat about having a losing record against every team in the SEC.
You can have a win against Florida.
You can have a winning record against Florida.
As Josh points out, Tennessee has lost 9 straight to Power 5 teams. Florida has lost to 7 straight.
That's a good point. That's a good point with Florida.
Yeah, they both stink. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I don't understand how Florida comes in as 6-point favorites. Like, I really don't.
Do we really think, what did you say, people are saying this is the battle for 6th in the East? Do we really think it's that bad? I mean, it might be, but.
I mean, look, from what I saw from Vanderbilt this weekend.
Yeah, Vandy looks good.
Vandy went to Notre Dame and moved the ball on them, and if they don't fumble and just, like, if they don't shoot themselves in the foot, which I get that's a part of what being Vanderbilt is, but.
I found two possibilities. Either South Carolina's 21, it says South Carolina 21 from 98 to 2000.
Okay.
Or Kentucky.
So 18 years ago.
Or Kentucky 1979 to 1982, 34 straight.
Okay. What about, is there anything in recent memory?
Those are the two most recent I found.
Oh, God. So, like, Tennessee, if they get to 14, that might make, like recent history?
Yes.
Worst since Kentucky in the early 80s?
Or South Carolina.
South Carolina in the late 90s lost, what, 21 in a row?
21 in a row.
Oh,
well,
Jesus.
Well, we'd be at, I mean, because.
We'll be at 14 if we after this gauntlet.
We'll
be at 14, 10 with
Florida.
We'll
be at 17.
Yeah.
Maybe 18. No, it won't get to that.
Is it bad that I feel more confident in the Florida game than I do Vanderbilt? Like, I say that with 100% sincerity. I feel better about Tennessee beating Florida this weekend than I do about them beating Vanderbilt at this point.
I don't agree with that personally. But
I think I mean it 100%.
I mean, based on what we've seen on the field, I mean, it totally makes sense what you're saying. To me, there's an intangible mental thing there, though.
Well, the mental? What do you mean, that tangible mental thing? Like, you think these guys are confident against Vandy?
No, not really, but they've at least won more recently against Vandy than they have Florida. I mean, Florida, they're 1-3 in the last four, and like we said, they should be 4-0.
Yeah, but at least
I know Vandy's won three of the last five.
At least they were close in the Florida game last year. At least they were close in that game and beat them in 2016. Hell, they lost in 16-17 to Vandy, and Vandy came into Knoxville and beat your ass last year.
Yeah, I know. I know. I just think by that time in the year, I mean, Tennessee should always expect to beat Vandy. Like, I don't care that they went to South Bend and played with Notre Dame. Ball State went to South Bend and played with Notre Dame. Sure, Vandy looks pretty good right now. They look pretty good. Good for Vandy. They got their moral victory. That's great. They had a chance to win. But
I'm not here to try to praise up Vandy. I'm just saying, like, if Tennessee doesn't beat Florida, there's a scenario where Tennessee goes into the Vanderbilt game with absolutely nothing to play for.
Here's the thing.
Right now, Tennessee still has hopes of having a good season. Like Tennessee, if Tennessee beats Florida and they get to 3-1, people will feel really good about this first, you know, this first four games of the season. If you lose to Florida and then all of a sudden you're 4-7 going to that Vanderbilt game, or 3-8 going to that Vanderbilt game, like,
you'll probably lose it.
I feel like I have better hopes of Tennessee being in front of a raucous crowd on Saturday playing against a Florida team who's not that good.
Than
being uninspired against a Vanderbilt team who it means everything to.
Well, if that's the scenario, then yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, if Tennessee loses to Florida, and we've already said they're staring four more losses in the face, like, Missouri and Kentucky look better than we thought they would this season.
It would depend on that swing right there with, like, South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, and how that plays out, probably.
I always kind of scoff at people who say that the Florida game is the entire season. But damn it, this feels like the season goes one of two ways after Saturday. Is that fair to say?
Does feel like a turning point, doesn't it?
I mean, it feels like if you lose to Florida, you better batten down the hatches.
It does feel like a roadblock.
You better buckle up. It's going to get bumpy.
A Y in the road.
We'll be like that guy who tried to ride out the hurricane on his boat, except we're not going to make it. He made it. He said he napped a lot. We ain't going to nap.
Nah, we'll drown.
We will drown.
Yeah.
It feels like a real fork in the road turning point right here. Win this game, the season can be okay. Lose it, uh-oh.
Even if we win and we're 3-1, I mean, how are we going to feel these next few weeks? Like, just... Are we just going to sit at home on Saturdays and just watch us get our eyes pounded in by Auburn and Georgia? I mean, is that going to take some of the life out even if you do beat Florida?
No, if you beat Florida, you can live through the next four games, I think. Let's catch a break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll talk about that. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Davey.
Pose that question to me one more time, Cody. Do you remember the question you asked me before break? Because I kind of remember it, but I don't all the way remember it.
No, I don't remember.
We both got up and went and did things the last segment, during the break.
Yeah.
I believe you asked, even if you beat Florida, if the anticipation goes out.
Yes. Does a win over Florida protect our mood through the next four if you drop all four?
I think so, right?
It leaves us inspired enough to get back up and ready to go for Mizzou, Kentucky, and Vandy, right?
I think it should.
I think so, too.
I mean, everyone told me that 6-6 is good if you beat Florida. Like, that's what you said. You said you'd rather have the win over Florida.
Yep.
A lot of people have said, hey, if you go 1-11 and beat Florida, I'm happy with that. Like, I don't like putting all this onus on the Florida game. Like, with the streak, when the streak was alive and it was a national story, yeah. After that, like, I want to beat them. Don't get me wrong. Like, I hate Florida. I want to beat them, but.
Well, the streak kind of is alive with what we talked about in the last segment. Not necessarily with Florida, but another streak that you really need to break. A couple embarrassing ones. You know, the SEC losing streak and then the losing to every team in the SEC. That streak. So, the thing is, so, in a way, a streak is at stake because you're not going to break that streak against Auburn, Georgia, or Bama.
Sure.
My question is, I guess, if you just get your head pounded in. You know what I mean? Like, if we beat Florida and we're 3-1, you know, because if you're sitting there at 3-1, you're like, okay, this is nice. But then you come out and it's like, I'm talking head beating in like 59-7, 59-0. Like, I think Georgia and Bama are good enough to do that to you. And I don't know about Auburn, but I'm kind of worried about that. Georgia and Bama, they look pretty good.
Oh, no, Georgia and Bama look great. I've written both of those games off, sure.
Now does Saban takes it easy on you a little bit and like cuts it off at like 45?
I don't know what the hell is going to happen in that game. Like, Alabama looks to be playing a different sport right now. Like, yeah. you finally gave them a quarterback, and now their offense is unstoppable. Like, you can't score on them, and you can't stop them. Like, I don't know, like, what they have defensively compared to the other teams, but, like, this feels like Saban's best team ever just because he actually has an offense. Now, maybe this hurts if Tua gets hurt because Tua's taking some shots and getting hit, but...
Still doesn't have a kicker.
He still doesn't have a kicker, but hell, they're not going to need one. They'll do what the Rams did to the Cardinals yesterday and just go for every two-point conversion and every short yardage thing. Like, that's the type of sport they're playing right now.
I saw that. Did the punter hit one field goal?
The punter hit a short field goal.
Okay.
But I don't, like, with extra points now being, like, 32 yards or 33 yards, like, I don't think you could hit that, so, like, you might as well just go for it.
Yeah, I saw they went for two. They got the first two.
They dominated. They beat them down. Like, I don't know how many of the 2-point conversions they got, but the Rams just beat the Cardinals. Might be the worst team in the NFL this year.
They look pretty bad.
Like, they feel like they're at the bottom with the Bills. Like, they're racing the Bills, who had someone quit at halftime.
Yeah,
just said, no, I'm done. I'm not playing anymore. And I don't blame him.
I've ended my career.
He's like, I'm not going back out there for another half. Nope, not doing it. Those feel like the two worst teams in the league. I think you have to beat Florida, because if not, like you said, if you're 2-2 going into that next four-game stretch, you're praying for upsets, but I don't feel like you're getting one, right?
You ain't getting one.
Like, I do think Auburn's beatable, but I don't think Tennessee's going to beat them.
Auburn on a really bad day, you play well, maybe. But Georgia and Bama, that ain't happening. You might as well. I don't even want to watch those games.
Yeah, Georgia and Bama's going to be a funeral. And then South Carolina, yeah, sure, maybe you could beat that one.
Maybe.
But at that point, at that point, beating a South Carolina team on the road is not going to be worth as much as you think it is.
Well, it might be.
If you lose to Florida and you beat South Carolina, like, you're still not even guaranteed a bowl game. At the end of the year, you're not going to hang your hat on, well, we beat South Carolina on the road. That's not going to be a thing.
Well, if South Carolina's your third win, I mean, you still got to pick up 2 out of 3 against Missouri, Kentucky, and Vandy, you know?
That's what I'm saying. No, you have to pick up 3 of those. Okay, yeah, so Charlotte.
So,
and then you had to pick up 2. Right, that's what I'm saying. So you're not even guaranteed a bowl game at that point. Like, if you lose to Florida, like, the rest of the season really gets a dark, damp rag cloud, I don't know, thrown on it. I was stuck in between what I was trying to say to paint the picture. This season is the turning point right here. This season can be a good first year. We'll be patient. Hopefully get to a bowl game year one, or it can be like, oh, wow, this is going to be really, really, really bad.
It's a fork in the road, man. You can either take the fork and dive into a warm bowl of mac and cheese, or you can take the fork and shove it in your heart. It's one or the other.
Is that what that means, fork in the road? Like, you pick up a fork and you either eat
know.
Or...
No. No.
Surely not, right?
No, I don't think there's any way that's what that means.
That'd be like fork in the kitchen, right?
Yeah.
That's a real fork in the kitchen situation.
Spoon in the kitchen, you know.
Stabbing yourself in the heart with a spoon would be
You could get the job
tough.
Done if you really wanted to.
I don't know.
You're
trying to, like, pick up something slimy with a spoon and just keep squirting all over the plate. I feel like that's kind of how your heart would be.
Yeah. You could probably, like, pick your eyeball out with one if you really wanted to. Oh, man. It'd be easier to stick a fork in your eye, obviously, and just pull it out. But
right.
You know.
Fork in the road, huh? Never thought about that.
These are the kind of things I think of when the power goes out.
Speaking of which, man, Comcast kept going out over the weekend, and I have anger problems.
I know.
They're deep-rooted. I have temper problems.
Yeah.
I cannot handle adversity. I cannot. Comcast went out for 15 minutes yesterday during Football Sunday, and I was about to have a conniption.
You lost your poise.
That is the kind way to put it. I lost my poise. Some would say I melted down.
Yeah. I went to a place, I'm not going to give them free pub, but great place to watch the NFL on Sundays.
Okay.
You could have joined me there. I met some Marines yesterday, actually, who were here. They're fighter pilots, Marine fighter pilots from the Carolinas. They had flown their fighter jets up here. They had them all parked out at McGee Tyson. Yeah. They were evacuees from the hurricane. They were getting ready to head back to do disaster relief. Marines, man. Those guys were badass guys.
I noticed you had a little bit extra motivation today. You got here at 9:50 instead.
I hung out with Marines yesterday.
I know. You came in, you're ready. You got here 5 minutes earlier than usual, and you're ready to go.
I think sometimes you kind of lose sight of like just how like badass those kind of guys are. You know what I mean? To actually see them. They're just drinking beer at the place we were at. They're just, you know, they had an off day, so they were just hanging out drinking beer.
Mm.
Cool guys, you know.
Yeah, thanks.
Alpha males.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Football.